WDAE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The polls are now closed in Florida, Illinois, and Ohio, three of the states holding primary elections. They'll close soon in Kansas. They're still open in Arizona and California. The Supreme Court's allowing a strict new immigration law in Texas to take effect. ABC's Terry Moran says it allows state and local authorities to arrest people they suspect are undocumented migrants without the feds' okay and send them to Mexico.
The Supreme Court's conservative majority granting Texas that green light for now to enforce its controversial immigration law. In a 6-3 order, the High Court rejected a request by the Biden administration to intervene and place the law, SB4 as it's called, on hold while it is challenged in the lower courts.
Mexico says it won't accept the return of migrants. The state orders to leave. Officials in Rochester are advising residents to boil their water before they drink it after a human body was found in a reservoir that supplies drinking water to parts of the city. This is ABC News. Federal prosecutors say a Tennessee nurse practitioner who called himself the Rock Doc has been sentenced to 20 years in prison for illegally prescribing thousands of doses of opioids in return for sex and money. Jeffrey Young Jr. was convicted last year. Artificial intelligence is creeping into our daily lives.
Phrases commonly associated with AI text generators, things like as of my last knowledge update or here is a possible introduction to your topic, are appearing in academic research papers. An analysis from 404 Media finds the words appear in more than 100 recently published papers covering topics from lithium batteries to quantum entanglement. But the report also notes they mainly appear in pay-to-print journals, which promised to publish pretty much anything for a fee. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Philanthropist and author Mackenzie Scott is going to donate more than $640 million to more than 360 organizations. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Don't you love an extra $100 in your pocket? Have a TurboTax expert file your taxes for you by March 31st to get $100 back instantly. Because no matter what moves you made last year, TurboTax makes them count. That means getting $100 back and 100% accurate taxes only from Intuit TurboTax. Must file by 3/31. Credit only applicable to federal filing fees with TurboTax full service. Offer can be modified or terminated at any time.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
I didn't,
to the
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. Go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
Oh. You do look like a...
beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss had some harsh words for the organizers of the attempt to kick him out of office. He spoke about the recall effort at a WisPolitics luncheon Tuesday.
You call these organizers whack jobs.
Yep.
Morons. Who else do you think are whack jobs and morons?
It's a pretty small number, but the people who did this, whack jobs and morons.
While the petitioners failed to get enough signatures to trigger a recall election under Voss's current maps, they may have enough under his new maps. The state Supreme Court is deciding which maps they need to use and are asking for arguments from all sides to be filed by Thursday. Marquette University plans to cut $31 million from its budget over the next 7 years. That's about 7% of its operating budget. Campus officials blame a drop in traditional student enrollment and the growing need for financial aid. They say program offerings, organizational structures, and campus facilities are all on the table. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Churio gets the job. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Journal Sentinel says Jackson Churio is expected to start in center field when the Brewers open the season in New York against the Mets next week Thursday. The 20-year-old signed an 8-year deal worth $82 million. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, center field, we've got some great options. Churio, as talented as anybody in that position.
Trio would become the third youngest center fielder ever to start on opening day in the majors in 124 years. NFL, Yash Nyman, no longer a Packer. The 6'7" offensive lineman lost his job at left tackle when Packers coordinator Adam Stenovich had this to say last September.
Yeah, right now he's a backup tackle for us. Football's a very competitive sport, and some guys rise to that competition and some guys don't.
Nyman has signed a two-year deal with Carolina. College basketball, March Madness begins tonight with four games. Over 50 million Americans expected to fill out a bracket. The odds of getting them all right, 1 in 9 quintillion. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear and breezy, lows in the upper teens. And a sunny forecast for tomorrow, cooler. High temps in the mid-30s and a little breezy. Then increasing clouds for Thursday, snow developing for Thursday night, wrapping up early Friday with accumulations. It's 52 right now.
Tune in Wednesday for a hump day edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Speaker Robin Voss is endorsing Donald Trump, the humanity. Tune in 4 to 6 statewide.
News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Thanks for hanging with me on this Tuesday night. We're in hour number two here from downtown Green Bay at City Deck Landing from our beautiful WGBW studios, broadcasting live statewide throughout this great state of Wisconsin. Coming up at 8:35, comedy writer and former stand-up comedian Roger Rittenhouse. Very excited to talk to Roger on this day in which we celebrate laughter. It's National Let's Laugh Day. What makes you laugh the most? That's tonight's question. You can let us know at 855-752-4842. We will be reading your texts again shortly. But first, we are going to get to some sports here. There was some good news over the weekend regarding two college programs here in Wisconsin. Of course, I'm talking about the Badgers and the Marquette Golden Eagles. It is the Golden Eagles, right, Conrad?
Yeah, it's the Golden Eagles.
I know they switched it up on me a few years ago, and that shows you how up-to-date I am on the Marquette Golden Eagles. But Mike Clemens is here to discuss all things sports. Mike, how are you?
Pretty good, Pete. How are you?
I'm better now that you're here, buddy, because you have all the answers to our questions.
Well, hey, let's talk about the Marquette name, because it's funny you mentioned that. It was about this time in 2005, and I was working for the sports station in Milwaukee, and we were just kind of starting things up. And Marquette, you know, they got to an off season from their basketball program and decided – I think they had a new coach coming in. Maybe it was Tom Crean that was coming in.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, we need to retire the name Warriors. You know, we need to be sensitive to Native Americans. And so they, you know, people were suggesting different names, and they had some pretty good names. And they had this big press conference. And I was there to cover it. And there was the president of the school and the other dignitaries, and they dropped this veil. And the new name was the Marquette Gold.
Oh.
Like what?
And it I was don't remember
some,
that.
Some stupid, you know, detailed, going nowhere, driving off the road stories to what the connection was to that and the Jesuits and Marquette. And it was just, I mean, within 2 weeks, people were still laughing at that dumb name. That to save face, they said, well, okay, well, we can put a birdie in there, like an eagle or something. Yeah, eagles are important in Wisconsin. Like Golden Eagles. How about the Golden Eagles? And that's how they came up with that name. But I just, I mean, it was, I never forget, they pulled the veil off, and people look at me like, is this a joke? Are they kidding? The gold?
Yeah,
what is that?
Is it possible, I didn't live in Wisconsin at the time, but can you keep the name Warriors somehow without having it, you know, be connected to Native Americans in some way or make it less offensive to them? And I mean, warrior, the word itself does exist separate of that, correct? Or is it just, was it just too close and they just didn't want any kind of connection?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I know Golden State still calls their professional team Warriors.
That's right, the Warriors.
It might have some sort of a, you know, different background to it. I don't know if that's necessarily attracted to Native Americans, but you know, whatever.
You could do worse than Golden Eagles, I guess, you know.
Oh, sure.
It's just not Badgers. Badgers is a cool name. Wolverines, like, that's a cool name, you know. Wildcats been done to death, but
right.
So Mike, what did you think? Like, people kind of wrote the Badgers off. I know I kind of did. I don't think they got a win, or if they did, maybe they had won in February or something like that. And then they come and they make this great run in the tournament. What on earth happened? What do you attribute that to?
I don't really know, except maybe facing some of these teams a second or third time in the Big Ten tournament. Certainly some rest helped them.
Yeah.
Because Greg Gard was saying, you know, we got to get our guys backed up. We're kind of banged up. And so that wasn't a throwaway. It actually was something that, you know, he had some injured players, some guys that were playing hurt. But, man, did they pull it together. And yeah. I will tell you, for me, the team really seemed to grow. And just in talking to these guys, they're a smart bunch of kids. I don't know how many of this year's Badgers basketball players have much of a chance of finding a spot in the NBA after they're done at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But they're a good, tough Big Ten team. They play tough. They're physical. They're smart. All of them are very smart, articulate guys. Who knows? There might be some future head coaches on that team.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. Like this Max Kleisman guy. I mean, this guy's tough, and he's smart, and he's as smart as guard in terms of figuring out when you ask him what happened on certain plays or what kind of defense that they were facing, you know, you'd like to see him go to the chalkboard and draw it up. Really smart guy. And yet now, you know, you get through those first three games, and now you're up against a tough team from Illinois that had some pretty good fast breaks. The Shannon kid was really tough. He's physical, fast, and, you know, he scored on a couple of transition plays. And then, you know, there were some questionable calls against Wisconsin. Tyler Wall fouling out again. They had three guys foul out on Saturday. Did you see the video that kind of went viral with Greg Gard after they won to get into the final after Saturday's game? Where then he said to one of the, like, you know, the assistants said, okay, you know, hit my music. And the guy played Jump Around. And then Greg Gard started doing the Jump Around in the locker room as a, you know, victory celebration going into Sunday's game. So even Greg Gard, you know, who could be kind of a stiff most of the time, you know, he showed the heart that the guy's got. So they're right where he wants them in terms of him being a smart X's and O's kind of guy and just enough, you know, to come out of his shell to, you know, to be that guy that can inspire and motivate. And then these kids, they're all smart and they're playing for each other. And I thought, here's the other thing I thought was really, really impressive is that Chucky Hepburn is a talented shooter. He dealt with some injuries earlier in the season, but, you know, a fast break guy, he'll make some steals, some key takeaways in the game. But he said, you know, he said the one guy of all the guys on this team, this guy broke through. He says, after a year and a half of working with this kid, something went off during that losing streak in January or February where he got vocal and he got passionate. And that's what you need. The coach can only say so much
right
before it starts falling on deaf ears. When you get players working against each other, and so Chucky becomes this vocal leader, then shows it on the court, and that might have been what kind of flipped the switch right there in terms of these guys saying, we have to find another gear.
That is the voice of Mike Clemens. We're talking NCAA tournament, Badgers, Marquette. Do you think the fifth seed, Mike, that's pretty fair, would you say?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing, Pete, that after the announcement came out Sunday night, Greg Gard was nice enough to come out and talk to us, you know, there in the Target Center as they were wrapping up the Big Ten tournament. And he said, well, first of all, I'm relieved that we're going to be playing Friday. He said, I've had this beef with the NCAAs in years past. If you're playing on Sunday in your tournament final, you can't be playing on Thursday. You know,
yeah.
Said, which Illinois, the team that just won the tournament that just beat them by 6 points, they got to play on Thursday.
Right.
And, you know, he's got Matt Kleisman, who had to leave the game. Actually, we learned during the course of that game, because sometimes the school will only say, yeah, it's a lower body injury, like an old hockey thing. we actually learned from the network that he's been dealing with a groin injury. He tweaked it with about 14 minutes left to play in the second half against Illinois on Sunday. The Badgers were up by 10. Next thing you know, he finally gets back into the game after going to the locker room, getting on the exercise bike, getting some treatment, and getting back into the game.
Taping it up.
A tie game when he came back in there.
Yeah. Well, that goes a long way, too. I mean, you know, his teammates, I'm sure, love that, you know?
Right. And not to mention, in terms of, you know, stamina, these guys just played four games in a row.
Yeah.
So at least now they get a couple days of rest. They'll fly on Wednesday. They'll get to rest on Thursday. And then they play on Friday night at 8:40.
You know, it is a drag, though, Mike, and I hate when there's two teams. And this year, they're the only two teams I'm cheering for, would be Marquette and Wisconsin, in the same bracket. Why does that always seem to happen when people only want to cheer for two teams?
Probably because the networks think that gets the most ratings.
Yeah, but, like, Wisconsin people are pretty passionate sports fans, wouldn't you say? I mean, they travel well during bowl games. I don't understand that. Like, it's almost like kind of a slap in the face to me.
Well, you know, it's supposed to be, it's first and foremost, it's based on the win-loss, amount of points scored, you know, degree of difficulty from the conference you come from. All those kinds of things are considered as well.
Yeah, no, that's true. Some pretty cool news, too. UWGB women's team is going to the NCAA, an 11 seed. That's exciting.
All right. Okay, thanks.
You know what,
I'm chasing down NFL free agents, man.
I know.
I guess I saw that headline somewhere, but there's only so much time I've got on my day.
You know what? I'm going to blame that on Conrad, because Conrad said, hey, this is something you might want to ask Mike, too. And I know what your schedule's like. And I go, is he going to know about that? Yeah. And Conrad says, well, I hope
so. Well, put Conrad on. Let's talk to him about it.
Really?
No, but he got tickets?
Your response to that, I almost did the Uber.
Here's the women's team that I'm following is the UW, the Badgers. Women's hockey team.
Yeah,
they're looking for a repeat championship.
Yeah,
and they're in the Frozen Four. They're going to be up in New Hampshire this weekend, taking on Colgate, and that's the team that I'm kind of spotting. But you know,
if they make a run,
pop quiz.
Yeah, if they make a run, you'll be following them. But you reminded me of, I almost did a euchre there when you said, okay, almost said, that's why he's the best color man in the business, folks. Hey, have you seen Longshot yet, Mike?
I did.
What did you think?
Did. Well, you know, it's funny. Well, I guess this is spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Your question tonight is, you know, who makes you laugh the most? It's Larry David.
That's a great answer.
I'm telling you, you know, should we talk a little bit about what the plot is?
Well, I've kind of teased it to people, but absolutely you can, sure.
All right. Here's a guy who's falsely accused. He's had a bad track record. He's running with a gang. But whatever. On one beautiful, quiet night, he's out at Dodger Ballpark with his kids watching a Dodgers game, and he gets called the next day, and, you know, through a friend of a friend or a nearby rough neighborhood he's in, he's accused of shooting and killing a young girl who was a witness to a gang violence, so a gang hit on somebody, and someone picked him in a lineup, old photos, and all of a sudden he's the prime suspect, and he's going up for murder one.
Let's pause it right there, Mike, and make this a two-parter. We'll come back real quick here with Mike Clemens. He's going to tell you how that ends next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Just another night, another vision of love. You feel joy, you feel pain, because nothing will be the same. Just another night, it's all that it takes to understand the difference between lovers and fakes. So baby, I talk to you in the night, in the dream of love so true.
News from the center, WRCE.
Do you think most girls love diamonds?
So like a sparkly ring? Absolutely.
No, silly. I mean the love for a baseball diamond. And listening to the Milwaukee Brewers games on News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
We've got you covered. Every pitch, every hit.
Swing and a drive to right and deep.
And every win.
on your local Civic Media radio station. News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever it's the, like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media radio network and on the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back. We are we were in the middle of a great story with Mike Clemens, who's with us on the phone, talking about the film Long Shot. A young man went to a Dodgers game, found himself accused of a crime, and his alibi, Mike, is that he was at the Dodgers game, but he doesn't have the ticket, correct?
Yeah, I couldn't find the ticket. And
right.
It was just so amazing is this. First of all, he's up against a prosecuting attorney in L.A. who's trying to fight all the street gang violence they've got, but she's never lost a case.
Right.
And he somehow gets a great attorney that says, okay, well, if you're at the game, wow, well, maybe there's footage of you there. So he's going through all the game footage, and I can't find anything. And just before he's about to give up, he sees that there's some sort of a film crew there, calls the ballpark and says, oh, yeah. Yeah, Curb Your Enthusiasm was out here shooting that night. Like, what? So he contacts Larry David and his crew from Curb Your Enthusiasm from HBO. They go through 8 different cassettes that they had of raw footage, and at the very last cassette, toward the end, they've got a shot down the aisle, and all of a sudden, at the last moment, here comes the suspect, the dad with his 2 kids, walking down the aisle. I mean, it almost made me tear up.
That's
how close this guy was to going to prison for life.
And it was just one of those stories. It's like, it literally was a miracle. Because you're right, it was like at the last tape. And I love when they had Larry David address the camera for the documentary, and he kind of had that smirk. He's like, "Yeah, I'll help him out."
They had the foot shot of Larry David coming up the aisle,
yes.
And this guy with his 2 kids, and they're carrying the little dolls that he said he bought them at the ballpark.
Yeah.
Everything he said is testimony. There it is on tape. But then, that's not over with. Then the prosecutor says, "Well, what time did the game get over with?" Well, the murder was like at 11:45, so that still gave him like 40 minutes where he could have zipped from the stadium and gone to this girl's neighborhood street and gunned her down in the street. Like, come on.
He took his 2 kids in a drive-by. Yeah, right.
Right.
No, that was great. I'm glad you liked it, Mike, and thanks for watching. I've been waiting to discuss that with you because it's one of my – it's just such a feel-good story. It's so great.
Yeah.
Mike, thanks so much for your time tonight. This is great. We'll be hopefully talking to you throughout the tournament, and a nice long run for the Golden Eagles or the Badgers. It'd be fun.
And the UW Green Bay women's team as well, right?
Yes. I will pre-screen all topics with you. You're the hardest working man in sports, and your time is much appreciated, my friend.
Thank you, boys.
Okay, buddy. We'll talk to you later. That's Mike Clemens. Conrad, have you seen the Long Shot yet?
I have not.
You know what? We just gave away the ending, but it's still great.
I did not expect to hear that Larry David was in it.
I didn't know. A friend of mine just told me to watch it. He said, just trust me. And I did, because it's only 40 minutes long. And I was like, is that Larry David? Like, you're watching it. It's like almost too good to be true. It's such a great story. I highly recommend that film. And you can see it on Netflix, and it's like 40 minutes long. So, all right, we got to read some texts here. Our question, as I mentioned, tonight, in honor of National Let's Laugh Day, what makes you laugh the most? That is tonight's question. So we got some great text, too. Now I got to scroll back. Oh, man, I got a whole bunch of them here I got to read. What makes me laugh? This is from the 818. This is Bridget, who hasn't texted in a while. What makes me laugh? My husband. He is the best storyteller, my kids, and TikTok. Okay, you better enjoy that TikTok while you can. I don't know if it's going to be around for for much longer if the news has anything to say about it. From the 608, Carla from Baraboo, talking again about, oh, I love it. Grandma Krieger says, Grandpa Krieger always says, another fine mess you got yourself in. I love Moonlighting, a classic sitcom. Also, another funny movie by Bruce Willis, Blind Date. Oh, my God, I forgot about Blind Date, Carla. That's right. That might have been his first movie that he kind of branched off during while he was still on Moonlight. Totally forgot about Blind Date. I think Kim Basinger is the woman in that, too. She says the family still gets laughs about that one. Steve is back from the 920. He says, Pete, you hit it right on the head regarding telling a story or joke with the family. You know in your heart and soul you nailed the best joke or funny story in family history and find yourself the only one around the dinner table laughing. There are those moments too, Steve. They're not all winners. Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes the absurdity or something that's so funny is when you tell a joke and get nothing. My comedian friends, when I used to do stand-up, that was our favorite moment when we watch our friends tank. When they're getting nothing. And it's just it's the same thing when you're sitting around the dinner table or at home when your family doesn't give you anything. From the 715, Joe says, my family makes me laugh the most. All right, Joe, the sacred moments of silliness, folks. I said it again. The Gigolo Ant song from Dumb and Dumber. The sacred moments of silliness are where I find my heaven. And that's kind of what a lot of these answers are sort of elaborating on as well. Paula, Conrad, your mom, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Ready for mom's text? It is funny when people respond to something you say with a completely straight face and have a very funny response. My niece Melissa has that funny gift. I agree. I love when you get nothing. My friend Mike Toomey and I were talking about this lately. He's a stand-up comedian, and he says his kids never laugh at him. And I find that so funny. I've met his kids a few times, and I think Mike's one of the funniest guys I know, and he gets nothing from his kids. That cracks me up. From the 920, Jim from Appleton says, I'm thinking about this question. I guess what's made me laugh the most is the things that go on backstage in community theater. That's a great answer too. I've done like high school theater. I remember when you can't find a prop or, you know, one of the costumes, the zipper's open, something. Inside jokes are the best. You cannot beat inside jokes. From the 630, Andrew from Verona says, remember when they were the gold for a week? Oh, he's elaborating on what Mike was talking about with the Marquette gold. I think we should start calling them that from now. This year for the tournament, Conrad, we will refer to Marquette, to the men's basketball program, as the Marquette gold. I don't even think you need to take a memo. I think we just said it, and we'll just take it from there. Andrew also says, our theory when we were undergrads is that the gold was intentionally such a bad idea. Any mascot after that would be acceptable. Oh, that's interesting.
The golden Cougars, the Golden Tigers,
Golden Cougars. That sounds like, like a pickup bar. Come on into the Golden Cougar. Are you a Golden Bachelor? Come on into the Golden Cougar. These are just great answers. That's interesting though. Like they could have set the bar low. So they had nowhere to go but up. Even if they settled on Wildcats.
The golden, gold. There we go, the Golden Wildcats.
Or, well, not even golden, but yeah. Because after the gold, yeah. Oh, they should have started with bronze if they really wanted to lower the bar. We're the Marquette University Participation Awards. It only went up from there. And we tried bronze. They were like, how about silver? Getting better. All right, when we come back, a very good friend of mine will help us. He'll be here to help us celebrate what makes you laugh the most, or help us celebrate National Let's Laugh Day, because he's one of the people that makes me laugh the most. Roger Rittenhouse is coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Behind a blend of plastic prints, found the lady with the fat diamond ring. Then you know I can't remember a damn thing. I think it's one of those deja vu things. Or a dream is trying to tell me something. But we'll have to stop thinking about it. I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you. Until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess who. Often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. The polls are now closed in Florida, Illinois, and Ohio, three of the states holding primary elections. They'll close soon in Kansas. They're still open in Arizona and California. The Supreme Court's allowing a strict new immigration law in Texas to take effect. ABC's Terry Moran says it allows state and local authorities to arrest people they suspect are undocumented migrants without the feds' okay and send them to Mexico.
The Supreme Court's conservative majority granting Texas that green light for now to enforce its controversial immigration law. In a 6-3 order, the High Court rejected a request by the Biden administration to intervene and place the law, SB4 as it's called, on hold while it is challenged in the lower courts.
Mexico says it won't accept the return of migrants. The state orders to leave. Officials in Rochester are advising residents to boil their water before they drink it after a human body was found in a reservoir that supplies drinking water to parts of the city. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A former Milwaukee election official is defending herself after she used fake names to order military absentee ballots in 2022. Kimberly Zapata was on trial Tuesday. She said she was exposing gaps in the state's absentee voting system. Zapata was basing those assumptions on proven false conspiracy theories stemming from the 2020 presidential election. She could face up to 3.5 years in prison if convicted. A middle school in Waukesha received a number of bomb threats after being targeted by a right-wing social media account. The account Libs of TikTok slammed the school's assistant principal on X over comments he made about how much say parents should have over education policy. All the threats have been deemed illegitimate, with some coming from other countries. State Superintendent Jill Underlee stood by the school and said that attacks and threats against schools are reprehensible and cannot continue. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear and breezy, lows in the upper teens. And a sunny forecast for tomorrow, cooler, high temps in the mid-30s and a little breezy. Then increasing clouds for Thursday, snow developing for Thursday night, wrapping up early Friday with accumulations. Currently 51 degrees.
The Todd Alma Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But, like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
I'd like to a former
Drew.
Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Do you think most girls love diamonds?
So like a sparkly ring? Absolutely.
No, silly. I mean the love for a baseball diamond. And listening to the Milwaukee Brewers games on News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
We've got you covered. Every pitch, every hit.
Swing and a drive to right and deep.
And every win.
On your local Civic Media radio station, News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Fun show. We're celebrating. It is national. It's national, folks. National Let's Laugh Day. You can laugh regionally all you want. Tonight it's national. It's the real deal. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Jason checking in on the stream. Hello, how's it going? It's going well, Jason. Even better that you're listening. So thank you for checking in. Great to have you with us tonight. Tomorrow night on the show, Kevin Williams joins me. He is launching a network, and I'm kind of fascinated about that. I want to talk to him about that. He's also Denise Williams' son. She sang Let's Hear It for the Boy. Conrad, take a memo. We need to pull that song for tomorrow night.
Sounds good.
And then from Wisconsinology, Frank Anderson will be here tomorrow night. Always fun to talk to Frank. We'll talk John F. Kennedy connections to our state and many other things. But tonight, here to help me close out the show is a good friend of mine and the perfect guy to have on the show to celebrate laughter because he truly cracks me up. Comedian and writer Roger Rittenhouse. Roger, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Pete? How you been?
I'm doing well. It's good to hear your voice.
Who's listening to this? Do I know him?
Okay.
I haven't talked to you since you visited L.A.
I know. We met at El Compadre. You, yeah. Trevor, and Genzer and me. We all wrote. Okay, just to give you, for the guy listening, I'll just give some background.
Yeah. I hope I know him because I think. We really get along.
I think we were waiting on you, or were we waiting on Trevor? But Roger and I, and a guy named Andrew Genzer, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, worked on a show called Sports Soup. We wrote jokes about sports and performed sketches. It was like The Soup, only sports related and less funny. But we were sitting there, and every time the door would open, I'd say, "Here he is." They would turn, and it would be some old.
You know why it was less funny? Because I do nothing about sports.
I got the job.
Because I really didn't know anything about sports.
I think that's anyway. Hilarious. I love that you made jokes about that though, like that you didn't know anything about. But that to me is a testament to your comedy writing ability and the respect you had as a comedian. Let's get Roger in here. He doesn't know anything about sports. I don't care. Yeah.
Is that basketball? Is that soccer? You know, the people that like soccer were the most annoying because really, that's just not a sport. I mean, it's just not interesting. Anyway.
That was a really, I have to tell you, Raj, I think I wrote one other time where there was a staff, but that was one of the most fun gigs I've had in my adult life.
It really was. You know what?
Yeah.
It's the only job. Actually, I've had a couple jobs. I can't remember the other one, but that was the longest run job we had, and yeah. I really enjoyed that.
It was so much fun. And that was
This is the second one, Night Light with Pete. I can't tell you.
Been a little slow, huh? No, I remember you and I wrote, okay, so a great way to make money in L.A., if you can get in, is to get these side...
It's OnlyFans, you know that.
Listen, I've got almost 30 followers, Roger, and...
I'm just getting out of my beaver costume. This actually was well-timed today.
You'll appreciate this. My daughter said to me about a year ago, she said, "Dad, you need a bigger presence on social media." And I said, "What are you talking about? I have almost 100 followers on my OnlyFans page." And her look went from, she started to laugh, then she stopped, and I just stared at her, and she stopped, and then she looked at panic. My God, it was the greatest moment of my life because she prides herself on being subtle. Oh, it was beautiful. What a horrible thought, though. So I don't even know what we were talking about.
I'm sorry. I keep interrupting. We were talking about sports.
Sports soup. And that was a joke for the longest time. When are we coming back? Like, because we had so much fun there. It was great. So, all right, let's talk. I want to talk because I'm fascinated. You're just a great joke writer, and not
really good at anything else, but no.
I have no proof. I will have no proof of that tonight. But yeah, I mean, that's what I do for a living. I just kind of write jokes, but.
And I'm fascinated by that because you write for Larry the Cable Guy. You've written for D.L. Hewley. Is that difficult?
Yeah, I'm actually working with D.L. right now.
Is he?
I'm very versatile. I can write for rednecks and black people, and you know, wait for a call from Sean Hannity. That's a joke. I'm not.
Is that difficult to write for people in different? You also write for roasts, and I don't know how you do that. How you write jokes? Is it difficult for writing for different people?
No, not really. The roasts are the easiest. You know, those are all kind of formulaic.
Are they? Okay.
You know, that's kind of stereotypes. And actually, that's the most fun thing to write. But yeah. No, I mean, I don't really. I mean, when I write for DL, it's a little, it's not strange at all. But, you know, I kind of don't really. I mean, I've been writing for him so long that I kind of feel like I'm an honorable brother.
Okay.
If you want to call, you know, if it's like, is that what they said in the 70s? But yeah, it's not really hard. I mean, he takes my writing and then, you know, makes it his own.
Yeah.
So it's not, he doesn't sound like he doesn't sound like a cracker. It's just written like that.
He takes a cracker joke, African Americans it up. And there you go.
Well, when I spell the N-word, I use two G's and end it with an A, and it's not racist.
Does he, you're one of the few people, Raj, at least it's in the business. I have a friend like this in real life, too, who can say stuff to people that's kind of offensive, yet somehow they know he's kidding. And I've seen you do that. Like, I love your Facebook post when, like, someone will post something that they're excited about. Hey, I'm putting up a show this weekend, and you'll say something like, you know, I don't know, like, thanks for letting me not, I don't know what.
Well, yeah, you know what? This thing about Facebook, I don't get, some people just like need to like post. Like
yeah.
Jackie Flynn, a good friend of ours, loves Jackie. He's like, yeah, well, I wish my daughter a happy 18th birthday. And I'm like, yeah, why don't you call her? Right. Why the hell am I reading this?
Yeah, right. But you say that, and it's like, and I think the one in particular I'm thinking of, I found it, is when I posted something, you said, I can't wait to not see that. But it's like, and I love that too, like people will say, happy birthday to my daughter, the cutest little angel I've ever, and she's three, she's not even on Facebook, I hope, and I don't get that either. I'm like, what are you doing here, you know?
So. Well, I think people know that they know my sense of humor, so it's easy to do that. I don't say that to strangers.
Right.
You know, but if someone posts a new baby picture and I know them, I'll just say, oh, isn't that, she's just adorable. It'd be a shame if something happened to her. I mean, that's just not the right thing. You would never say that to a stranger who showed you their baby. But
no.
It's just, I don't know, it's just my sense of humor. But yeah, it's...
So the first time you did it, you probably got a poke in the chops, I would imagine. Somebody took a swing at you, but then they're like, oh, no, it's Roger. It's okay.
I have done that with two strangers with other friends in the room, and there is a little bit of a silence, but then they kind of like, oh, he's kidding.
Oh, there's nothing better than that awkward silence. So do you still write for Larry?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, he's kind of really shut down his performing pretty much.
Yeah,
I think he does like mostly casino dates throughout the year. But yeah, you know.
Okay. You know, did we talk about him at Sports Soup? I knew him as Dan Whitney, and you'll appreciate this. He was great to me. Like, we hit it off right away. He got me so much work with a phone call. Like, and people liked him so much, Raj. He was still middling.
I'll be honest with you. He's literally one of the nicest guys I've ever met. He's just a down-to-earth. To this day, you know?
Yeah, he really is. And he would call and say, hey, you got to book this guy. He's great. And they would book me without a tape or anything and regret it later. But, you know, he just, no, he's that jovial and likable that people would do that. And I was at Zany's in Pheasant Run outside Chicago. He was staying at our apartment, and I would drive out there every night. We would drive out. And he comes up. He shows up with his construction helmet. And back then, he was called the Freight Train of Comedy. And he said, hey, I'm trying to do this new character. Let me know what you think. And he put the hat on at the end of his act, and he go, hey, you order cable? And, you know, maybe it got like a snicker at the most. And he get off the stage and go, what'd you think? And my reaction was like, yeah, it's okay, but whatever. Okay, a year later, he's selling out arenas as Larry the Cable Guy.
I can't believe, you know what? I was the same way. I was like, I couldn't believe that was just a joke in the act. And
yeah.
then he made a whole hour of it. And it was funny. That first hour that he came out was absolutely, it was funny.
And Larry the Cable Guy or the Freight Train was gone. Like he was not, and he was really fun. Like I thought he was a really fun stand up to watch, but yeah, you can't, I mean, when you have a gimmick like that makes you millions of dollars, I guess you have to do it, you know?
But I mean, it's amazing. I mean, the get her done. I mean, just the catchphrases, they were just like gigantic.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I heard get her done on like UPS kind of stole it, you know, a lot of these companies kind of like had their own, you know, well, Just Do It was already there, but you know what I'm saying?
Other
people.
That's good stuff. My guest is comedian and writer Roger Rittenhouse is helping us close the show down tonight on Nightlight. So who else have you written for, Raj?
Close the show down tonight or the whole show? I was writing for Ron White in 2019, and he's great.
Yeah.
Also. Basically, I just work for the rednecks.
You work for the rednecks and DL.
I mean, the first writing job I got was on Bill Maher's show. Politically Incorrect, you know, but and that was fun. That was all right. I kind of found it difficult living in New York.
Okay.
For $580 a week.
That's what he paid.
That's what Comedy Central paid.
Oh my god.
That was after taxes, but still, you couldn't really. I was staying at a friend's, they had a studio, and I was like, it was so cramped. I was just kind of felt bad staying there, but they said it was fine. But yeah, you know, it was tough, but, the actual show was fun. I really enjoyed, you know, he'd be having these political discussions, and there'd be like Susan Powder with her cleavage showing and Timothy Leary sitting next to her, just staring at her breasts. You know, they're talking about, we're talking about politics. It's just kind of like, it was pretty funny.
That's great. All right. I have another story that I'm sure you don't remember this. You and I were working for the WB. I had just moved to LA and Paul Gilmartin.
That's a great gig. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And he got me in at WB, and it was freelance writing. I think at the time it was like $400 a day, and you go out to a trailer.
Which would be good today.
Yeah, absolutely. they had no idea. They didn't have to pay us that much, but that's okay. And we would go out to a trailer and just sit there. And I'm like, it's my first real gig in LA. I just moved there, and you and Paul were there goofing off, talking about where you wanted to go to lunch starting at like 8:30 in the morning. And I'm like, God, these guys aren't taking this seriously. Well, I relaxed. I put a sign on Paul's car, and I put it on his windshield, and I said, a-hole, don't park here anymore. And Paul came in, and he's like, and I signed it crew. And he goes, guys, check this out. And I put your car will be towed. And he reads it to us, and you said, maybe he means towed. And you like lifted your foot like you were towing his car. Like you were using your toe, like maybe that's what he meant. I laughed uncontrollably. It was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Hey, Roger Rittenhouse is here. We've got more with him coming up next. We're going to get into more of this roast stuff because I love the roast and I love that you wrote for them, Raj. So we'll talk about that next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You dance, dance, dance. Feel a good creeping up on you. So just dance, dance.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Join Wisconsin women's basketball at the Kohl Center on January 27th at 2 p.m. to celebrate National Girls and Women in Sports Day presented by Kohl's. The festivities start early with interactive kids activities, a special halftime panel, and a 50th season lapel pin giveaway while supplies last. For more information on our National Girls and Women in Sports Day celebration on January 27th and to purchase women's basketball tickets, visit UWBadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's UWBadgers.com.
Normally, when we do a commercial, we talk about all of the options a Cleary building has. We talk about storing your toys or using it for a workshop, but that's not what I'm going to talk about today. I'd like to salute our remarkable team for giving the customer service you deserve. From our engineers to the folks pounding nails, we are proud of each and every one of them, and we think you will be too. So instead of talking about plenty of space for your vehicles, I hope you will give the best in the business a chance. Cleary Building Corp, since 1978.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We are back. Got a few more minutes here with comedian writer Roger Rittenhouse on this day where it is national. Roger, what makes you laugh the most?
What makes me laugh the most?
Yeah.
I don't know. When I find if I'm on, I'm online a lot. So if I find myself laughing, it's usually the hard times is kind of like the Onion, but for music.
Yeah.
That makes me laugh a lot of the times. I don't know.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing like show wise or I will say Nate Bargatze makes me laugh, but.
Yeah, he's funny. He's coming here in April, I think. He's a clean comic, Raj. Did you wear clean?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little bit, for the most part. I mean, maybe it was a little twisted premise-wise, but it wasn't cussing or anything.
Right. So what's it like when you write on these roasts for Comedy Central, you said it was kind of formulaic, but what's the atmosphere like?
Well,
you
know, roasts are kind of like, it's good to see. they're just, I mean, if you watch a lot of roasts, they're a little bit formulaic.
Have you worked on a roast with Mike Rowe?
Yeah.
He was a dad at my kid's school there in L.A., and his son Nick, he has twins, Nick and Jack, are friends with my son Joe, and they reconnected like 3 years ago. Nick and Joe reconnected like 3 years ago, and they've written online together. I think that's so funny. Especially
that's great.
During COVID.
Yeah, we worked on the Hasselhoff roast.
Oh, that must have been a fun one. What's that writer's room like? Are you guys all in the same room?
God.
Or is...
I tell you, it's so, I mean, the writer's room was great. So you're basically all at a long table and, man, I forget the roast, but yeah, there were so many funny people,
Is it competitive or are you ever intimidated?
You know, a little bit. I mean, it's not competitive, but yeah, there's people. I mean, because everyone throws in the, but there's people know who wrote the best jokes.
Yeah.
What was her name? Whitney.
Whitney Brown.
No.
Hey, Whitney Brown.
She had her own special recently. But she was writing on one of the roasts. But she had some very funny jokes about. I think it was Flavor Flav or something. You look the way Michael, you look the way Magic Johnson should look. Because he weighed like 60 pounds. Anyway, there was just so many good jokes to be thrown around at the table.
How long, do those pay well?
They pay pretty well.
Okay. Like a union gig?
Because, it's writer's guilds. You kind of get... like the higher minimums.
Right.
At least I think when the Shatner roast was the most fun. I was writing for Betty White. And it was hilarious. And it's very surprising. The people that you think are just going to be like, oh, my God, Snoop Dogg, this is going to be a train wreck. And then he's like just the most professional, nails it, in rehearsal. Just perfect comedy timing.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Do you miss doing stand-up?
No, I don't.
At all?
Not really. I don't like it to, yeah, I don't miss the travel and the, you know, the show. Yeah, I don't really like the performing. I just kind of prefer the jokes, you know?
Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me. I've seen your act.
Stand-up?
No, I don't. You know what? I book a football fundraiser for my local, where I live. It's a once-a-year event, and I get to bring a friend up from Chicago or whatever, and I get to hang out with comedians for like one night. It's so much fun. And this year was fun because Tom Clark, do you know Tom?
Yeah.
Okay, so Tom came up and did it with his wife, who's also a comedian, Steph Clark, and then my friend Tim Cavanaugh in Chicago. He's Chicago-based. He came up and did another fundraiser at the Catholic school. Well, this town has like 12,000 people, and it was on the same date. So we all got to hang out together, which was fun. There's like four comics and me. And Tom Clark said, yeah, I looked at Tim's Facebook post and he said he's going to be in Marinette, Wisconsin on February 3rd. I'm like, did I get bumped? But it's always fun. I mean, hanging out with writers and comics, there's nothing more fun than that to me. So,
yeah, I mean, I do get a little tinge of wanting to do it when I visit Denver, which I haven't lately. But the Comedy Works in Denver, Colorado is probably the best club I've ever been in. And it's just one of those, you can't lose there, you know?
Yeah.
No one's ever died there or even done badly.
On stage,
well, that's
or
not true, but you know.
Yeah. All right. So, Raj, one of the things we do on this show, we talk about movies and TV and what people are watching. Can you recommend anything? You binge watching anything or cringe watching anything?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know. Can I recommend it? I don't know. I watch so much stuff that, you know, if I get through the whole season, I'd say, yeah, you can watch that on The Tourist on Netflix. I kind of started watching that. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. It started out, you know, kind of, it dragged me through the whole season.
I did like three episodes of that, and I found the sheriff a little over the top with the comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know,
dial that back a little.
So many things that can throw you off.
Yeah. But it's good. I didn't dislike it, you know.
You know, Warrior was great.
I watched the first two seasons. Have you seen the new season now?
Yeah.
Okay, is it good?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, I'll have to go back to it, because I did like the first two before the pre-COVID season.
I think it would have been better if they just would have went right into, you know, instead of canceled the show.
Yeah, for like 3 years.
Bring it back.
I know.
You know. I mean, I love the class. I mean, you've seen all the, I'd probably say the best show I've seen on Netflix, probably Dark. I don't know if you've seen
that. Oh, I have not
seen
that.
It's a time travel series.
No, but I've heard someone else talk about it too, so I'll have to check that
out.
Yeah,
it's really good. And then you gotta stay with that one. Just till the second episode.
Okay.
Because you don't really know what's a time travel until about the second, third episode. And then you're like, oh, wow. And then it really gets so involved.
That's so great.
You know, I think I had to watch it twice just to kind of piece it all together, but it was really good.
Cool. Hey, Raj, I can't thank you enough. It was great catching up. This is so much fun. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, Pete, great talking to you, and good luck with everything. And, you know, hope to see you in person one of these days.
I'll get out there one of these days. Yeah, we got to hang out, and let's catch up off the air sometime too. That could be fun as well.
Okay.
Okay, buddy. All right. Thanks,
hey,
Raj.
Man, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
What's that?
I appreciate you having me on.
Always. My pleasure. Take care, buddy.
All right.
That's Roger Rittenhouse. I'd like to thank him. I'd like to thank Mike Clemens and Jesse March. And this was so much fun tonight, you guys. Thanks for the texts. We got to the bottom of some comedy questions here. The question was, what makes you laugh the most? Loved your answers. Always great when you guys participate. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
I'm Earl, host of The Earl Ingram Show. Wednesday at 9 a.m. I'll be joined by Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, only on Civic Media.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.